Welcome to Act Sunday. My name is Skylar Bainbridge, and I have been with the Acts Youth Group for some time now because I have been held back 9 to 10 years. No, I graduated in 2014. But I came back because I really enjoy being on staff. It's my favorite ministry, being able to just relay what God has been showing me in my life and guiding me and being able to share that with these young men and women. And it's such a wonderful opportunity, Acts Sunday, for the future of our church to get to step up and take these roles and see what it's like day to day and to be able to serve the body. And so as you leave here today, or if you see anybody wearing the Acts shirt, please feel free to say thanks and encourage them, not to inflate their egos, but to let them know that we as the body love seeing them grow in God and pursue just working for Him and serving the body. So. And if you've been around long enough, you might remember that the last time I was up here and taught was about 10 years ago during my senior year for Acts Sunday and about 85 pounds ago. So since then, I think I've gotten just a little bit wiser and a whole lot wider. And if the trend continues, I'll see you in 10 years and I'll need to get a new pair of pants. Well, before we begin this morning, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day, Lord. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you for allowing us to be able to gather together as family and learn about you. And I ask that you'll continue to be with us, be with all of us this morning, and be with me as I share what you have inspired and make more of you and less of me. Amen. So over the past couple weeks, we have been doing a Lent series in preparation of the remembrance and celebration of our Savior's death and resurrection. And today I get the opportunity to speak about peace. So I'd like to ask you a question, rhetorical question. When I say the word peace, what's the first thing that comes to mind? What's the first thing that comes to your head when I say the word peace? Maybe you relate it to a time of stillness or quiet. Maybe it's a time when all your needs were met. Maybe it's a time when our country wasn't at war or when there wasn't such a large political divide. We can all say we've had times in our lives where we have felt peace, but it's fleeting and it doesn't always last. Webster's dictionary describes peace as a state of tranquility or quiet or a state without aggression. So I want to paint a picture for you real quick, mental picture. Let's say you're in a forest by a pond, early morning, or maybe it's sunset, depending on if you're an early bird or a night owl. But everything is perfectly still. There's no ripples in the water. There's no wind blowing through the branches and agitating the trees. Everything is perfectly quiet, and you can't help but feel a sense of peace in a scene like that. And yet, even just imagining that picture, we know it's not going to last. Because at some point, if you sit there long enough, a storm's going to come. Or we have to get up and get back in the car. We got to face traffic. We got to go back to our lives, our jobs, and face distractions that continually pull us away from that feeling of peace. It feels like peace is constantly fleeting and isn't something that can prolong day to day. But what if I told you that peace is not only readily attainable, but is as fleeting as we make it to be? And I'm not talking about worldly peace, I'm talking about God-given peace. So what is God-given peace? To take out of Webster's again, I would say God-given peace is to have a tranquil and quiet spirit from the understanding of God's works and His unchanging perfect character. And unlike temporary worldly peace, God's peace is one that is not fleeting, and it is eternal. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 7, if you have your Bibles. If not, we'll have the words up here on screen. And it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God's peace causes rejoicing. It repels anxiety, and it will continually guard our hearts and minds. It is eternal. So why do we have this blessing of peace? Where does it come from? And how can we experience it day to day? I'm going to turn to another passage, Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 19. Now, this is a fair chunk of scripture, so you're going to have to bear with me as I read this whole thing. So let me open my Bible. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 19. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in the kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God. Why do we have God's peace? We chose war against God when we continually rebel against him with our sin. See, God created a holy standard for us to live so that we might dwell with him one day, and yet we have chosen to break that peace. We have decided to go to war with God. Let's read verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul... Oh, sorry. My goodness, that's chapter 3. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We don't deserve peace. We deserve eternal judgment from God for what we've done, for the sins we've committed. And yet, peace is abundant, and he seeks us out. For we have been forgiven. Let's look in verse 4 through 5. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We don't deserve it, but through Christ we have been forgiven. God loves us so greatly that even though we had no peace with him, he established it with us. God is no longer holding our past and our future against us. He says, our sins are spread as far from the east as from the west, dropped to the depths of the sea, put behind him, and that he might forget them. Not only are we forgiven, he doesn't say, okay, I've got you up this far, and now you better do better on your way out, right? We've also been justified. We have been declared righteous because we are now have the righteousness of Christ. Let's look at verses 6 through 7. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places like Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. He doesn't just leave us off. He doesn't say, okay, you're forgiven, now go. We no longer have to work to attain salvation. We couldn't even possibly work that way to begin with. But he takes that for us. And that should give us peace, that we have the righteousness of Christ. But we're not only just forgiven, we're not only just justified, we have been reconciled. Let's look at verse 13 through 14. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. We used to be enemies of God because of our sin. Jesus' work on the cross allows us to be reconciled and no longer be considered enemies. In fact, not only are we not considered enemies, forgiven and justified, but we're brought into the family. We've been adopted. Let's look at verse 18 through 20. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Through the work of Christ on the cross, we not only get all that I described, but immediately should feel the sensation of peace. We have God's peace because God made peace with us through his Son, Christ, on the cross. And Christ died for all, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And there is a perfect, beautiful peace in that, and that he established. And not only did we experience that once, but we get to continually experience that day to day. Going back, let's look at Philippians 4, 4 through 7, and I'll reread it just to refresh us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How do we get to experience God's peace daily? Well, the first step I would say is we need to remember why we have God's peace. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. He took the punishment that we deserve so that we might get to live with him eternally. We've been forgiven. We've been adopted. Because of God's works. He sent his Son to bear our sins that we might have peace with him. Jumping back to Ephesians 2, 4 through 7 again. But God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. He established an everlasting peace that we can experience day to day. Next, we should rejoice, it says in Philippians. This is cause for rejoice, knowing that our souls are secure, knowing that we no longer have to work to earn salvation or to have peace. It's been established. We don't have to worry about it. We should be exclaiming God's goodness to everyone in sight as soon as we see them. Next, repel the anxiety. If you know that the Creator who controls all things loves you and has nothing but the best for your soul and for you, then there's no room for worry. His character is absolute. He is perfect and unchanging. He keeps all of his promises and there is no fault in him. There's no need to worry or be anxious, for the Creator loves you and is watching over you, and that should bring you peace. Well, repelling the anxiety is easier said than done, so we need to request for God's help. We should always go to God first and foremost. Not only did he establish that peace with us and allow us to be able to have this peace with him, but he continually strengthens us and reminds us of him and gives us his peace. And lastly, we should give thanks. We should respond with absolute gratitude for this for this peace that we get to constantly experience through his work on the cross. So to finish, I want to leave you with another picture. Take away the forest, take away the pond, okay? Now I want you to replace that with an image of Christ ascended from the cross, sitting at the right hand of God in his full majesty, goodness, and power, to see the ultimate showing of love and care that has been promised to us. There is everlasting peace. To understand Christ's work and character is what gives everlasting peace. But we don't always look at them. It's too easy to become distracted and feel as though peace is fleeting. And yet, it's right in front of us if we decide to orient ourselves back to him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the peace you've established with us through your Son, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins to allow us to be able to one day dwell with you. Lord, as we go through our lives, these weeks, these months, continue to remind us of peace. Amen.